Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Nivamos Daf Tzadiches. We're learning today Lili Nishmas Eliud Platt's mother, Faye Platt, Faye Galeya Bas Binyamin. We're also learning Lili Nishmas Shirley Siklik, Shena Bas Avrom, and Margaret Stern, Miriam Bas Yisrael. All the Neshamas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. Now we begin the Gemara Tzadiches Omer Aleph, three lines from the top with the words Omer Rava. Rava tells us the following: Omer Rava. That which Chazal tell us that there is no paternity in regards to the Mitzrayim, meaning in regards to any guy, when they become Nisgayer, we don't consider the paternal biological relationships prior to their conversion to be significant. Lo teima, do not say that that's only Mishum Dishtufe Bezima Delo Yediyah. Don't say that's only because their morals are different than ours, and therefore we don't know necessarily who their father is. And that implies that it's only when we don't know who the father is definitively that we say it is din, that we don't take into account paternity. But the implication of that would be, avo yediya, if we did know in fact who the father was. Rashi explains, for example, in the situation where hechad yadidon, the idea, kigon hayu aviv v'imo chavush v'beisu asurim, if you know for a fact that there was no other potential partner for the mother, because the father and the mother were locked up in a jail, they were the only potential partners. Any child was definitely from the father. The lo niva lo liacher. So then, in that situation, chayshinan, are we in fact going to be choshesh? So the Gemara says no. Rav is telling us that that's not correct. Elafilu the idea nami. Even if we know for a fact, 100%, this biological father is the biological father. This father truly is the father. However, lo chayshinu, we don't take that into account when they convert. And I'll prove this to you, Rava says, da shnei achim to omen. If you have twins, now twins, 99.99999% of the time, come from the same father. There are rare cases reported where a woman can get pregnant from two different men and happen to have two different fathers. But the vast majority of the times, if a woman has twins, it's from the same father. The tipa achas haya, as the Gemara explains, it was a single tipa, a zera of impregnation, and it's split into two. Now this is when you have identical twins, that is sometimes what happens. Now you can't have two different tipos over here that impregnate two different eggs that ovulated, but the bottom line is, it's dealing with the same father. So therefore, even in a situation where you know for a fact, as in twins, who the father definitely is, uktani seifa, yet it says in the seifa of that brisa, lo choltsin, lo miyabin, that we don't require in that situation chalitza or yibum. In other words, shmamino, afkure, afkure, rachmon lazari. The bottom line is, Chazal did not consider the paternity of a child when the child is miskaya. Now, the chsiv, where do we get this from? Because the pasuk tells us, in Yecheskel it says, the chsiv, Bisar chamorim bisarom v'zirmas susim zirmasom. That halachically speaking, we consider, just like by animals, we don't have paternity. There is no din of osovi espino, according to most poskim, in regards to the father. We just have one din. It's the mother. That's the only thing that we take into account by animals. And that's based upon this pasuk, bisar chamorim bisarom, and zirmas susim zirmasom. So too, we compare the genealogy by the goyim to this pasuk in terms of the animals. And therefore, there is no din of paternity when they convert. Now, when they're goyim, there is a din of paternity. There is a concept of paternity by the goyim themselves. However, when they convert, we don't take into account the paternity. That's what Rava teaches us. Now we go back to the machlokas we had yesterday between Rav Acha and Rav Sheshes as to whether you are allowed to go and marry your biological brother, but after conversion's wife. So therefore, in this situation, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said you're allowed to, and Rav Sheshes said you're not allowed to. So, Toshma, the Braisa teaches us, the Amar Rabbi Yossi, Maisa. One time Rabbi Yossi said there was a Maisa with a gentleman by the name of Niftayim Hager. Niftayim was born a guy, and he converted. And what did he do? Shenosa Eishes Ochiv Ne'imo. And he married the wife of his brother, who was the brother from his same mother. And Uba Maisa Levein Chachamim, they asked the Chachamim, is this allowed? V'amru Ein Ishus Leger. And they said that there is no Ishus with a ger, so there was no problem with him going and marrying his brother's wife. paternal brother's wife, because there's no concept of ishus with a ger. Where it says what? That can't be right. The elo ger, the kaddish, hachanami lo talks about kedushin. Are you telling me that a ger shenisgayer, he doesn't have kedushin with a woman? It's not considered a wife. So how can you tell me over here that this isn't a wife? Of course it's a wife. Someone says, yeah, that's not what we said. The Brayis is telling us ela eimor ein iser ishusoch leger, that there is no halachic problem with two biological brothers that were born non-Jews, they converted, and there's no problem, even though they have the same mother, with one of them marrying his brother's wife. Let's say the brother divorced his wife or the brother died, there is no problem with the other brother marrying that brother's wife. That's what this Bryce is telling us. Now, my lab, aren't we talking about the Nosva Ach Kishuger? Aren't we talking about that Niftaim's brother? This is a situation. Niftayim Hager, Nosa Ashes Ochimimo. Aren't we talking about that Niftayim's brother married his wife and then he died or divorced her, and only then did Niftayim marry her? So wasn't he already a ger? And therefore, this is exactly in accord with what Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, that there is no problem marrying your maternal brother's wife, even though they married after he was already misgayer. And therefore, we say, Gershon is guy, even in regards to maternal brothers. And therefore, there was no problem with Niftayim marrying his former sister-in-law, because it is only a biological brother and not a halachic brother. Haraya to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov from this brisa. So where it says, not necessarily so. Lo, we're not dealing over here where Niftayim's brother married her when he was a Jew. We're talking here where he was married to her while he was a guy. Now, the Nosva Kishu Ovi Kochavim, and then they converted, but he never remarried her as a yid. So therefore, while it technically is his biological brother's wife, but it was a wife only while he was a guy, and therefore, that is why Niftayim was allowed to marry her, because they never were married as a yid. But if they were married as a yid, Rav Sheshes would say, no, that you're not allowed to marry her. Kishu Ovi Kochavim, where it says, Ma'lamemer. So then what's the Chiddush? After all, we don't halachically view a marriage when their goyim is interacting in any way with once the fact that they become Jewish. Their former marriages, while they were goyim, don't count. Gerushin is gay, kakoshin oladami. So what would be the chiddush? This Bryce is telling us this. So Nora is going to give us a teretz now, which is going to repeat several times. This similar question will be brought up several times. Ma'al de tema, I might have thought that we should make a gzeir over here. Ligs, or we shouldn't allow Niftayim to go marry his former sister-in-law because of the gzeira. The gzeira is that since there is no problem marrying this sister-in-law because they only married while they were goyim, and now Gershon is guy kosher lo'adam, there's no problem. But if we allow that, then we may allow it after they're nisgayer and he remarries her. We might have thought that we should make a gzeira over here and not allow it. Oh, come ashalom, that we don't make such a gzeira. So Rav Sheshes says, this Bryce is perfectly in accord with me. There is an iser in marrying your brother's wife if he married her after he was nisgayer. So even though biologically your brothers and gerushin nisgayer kikot shnola dami, nevertheless, we don't allow you to go and marry your biological brother's wife even though you're both gerim. And that's what Rav Sheshes says is the din. And you might have thought we should make a gzera that we shouldn't even allow you to marry her if they didn't have marriage when they were yidden, but they only had marriage while they were goyim. They both misgayer, but he never remarried her. Then the brother is allowed to marry his former sister-in-law. That's how Rav Sheshes understands this brisa. Toshma, we try again to bring a raya. The Omar ben Yasin also was a ger, and he said the following: Kisholachti l'krachei hayom. I once traveled to overseas to the krachei hayom, and motzasi ger echad shenoso eishes ochiv meimo. And I saw that a ger had married his former brother's wife, thinking they both had converted, and now that wife is permitted. We don't consider them as brothers. They're biological brothers, but halachically, there is no problem, like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And therefore, when his brother died or his brother divorced his wife, the biological brother, but now they're gerish in this guy, Kikot and Shinola dummy, was able to marry his biological brother's wife. And this Ben Yasin asked him, Amartilo, Bini, Mihir Shecha, who gave you permission to do this? Why were you allowed to go and do this? So Amali, he said, Hare Isha Vashiva Baneha, there in this city over here is a woman who had seven sons, and Al Safsos there Yoshav Rabbi Akiva, and on this very bench where we're sitting right now, Rabbi Akiva paskin two halachos, and he said Bomer Shnei Dvar. Number one, Ger Nosei Eishes Ochav Meibo. He paskin seemingly like Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov, and he said that a ger is allowed to go and marry his brother, biological brother, but they both win his Gaia, so it's not considered like his halachic brother, is therefore allowed to go marry his biological brother's wife. And Rabbi Akiva said this, and that's the heter for this person to have married his biological brother's wife, because they both win his Gaia, and Gerish and his Gaia could call Shanolat Dami. That's the first din that Rabbi Akiva said, Ger no se eisha socha b'imo, exactly like Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov. And the second din that Rabbi Akiva said was as follows. In Yonah, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yonah a second time. And Rabbi Akiva dives from the fact that it says he spoke to Yonah a second time, it means Shenis Dibra Imo Shechina, Shlishis Lo Dibra Imo Shechina, that the Shechina only spoke with Yonah two times, but did not speak with him a third time. Now, Tani Mias, we see from the first statement of Rabbi Akiva, Ger Nosi Eishesach of Meimo, exactly like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And aren't we talking about my lab de Noso Ochid Kishu Ger? Aren't we talking about that the two biological brothers, they converted, and then one of the biological brothers was a full-fledged Yid now, and he married the woman, and then he died or he divorced her, and his brother, his biological brother, married the former sister-in-law. And you see exactly like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov and Akasha and Rav Sheshes. So again, we give the same terrors we gave before. Lo, we're not talking about that he married her after he was Miskayer. We're talking about where he married her when he was a guy. And they never remarried after he became a Yid. They both converted, but he never remarried her. Lo, the Nosso Kishu Ovi Kochavim. So therefore, it says the same Kasha as a minute ago, Kishu Ovi Kochavim, Maile Memer. So what's the Chiddush then? We know that their marriages have no halachic impact on us if they convert. So what it says again, I might have thought Nigzor Kishu Ovi Kochavim or Tuk Shuger. I might have thought that we should make Xera. If you allow him to go marry his biological brother's wife from when he was a guy, so you might come to allow that even when he's a Yid. So I might have thought you should make such a Xera. So Rav Sheshes says, no, the Bryce is teaching us that you don't make such a Xera. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. And it's not a Kasha, Rav Sheshes says, it's in fact exactly like my opinion. Now the Gemara says that wasn't Ben Yassin's understanding. So Ben Yassin understood that this Ger was allowed to go marry his biological brother's wife because he held like the simple understanding of Rabbi Akiva that we hold like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, that you are allowed to go marry your biological brother's wife as long as you both converted, even if the marriage was after the conversion, because Ger Shiniskaya Kekodin Shinolak Dami. So is that really true? How could Ben Yassin have allowed this to occur? Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. We have a famous statement. The Rav Abba said, "Name Rav Huna, send him a Rav." Call Talmud Chacham Shemor Halacha Ba. If a Talmud Chacham comes and tells us a certain halacha, but it's to his own benefit that he tells us this halacha, so he's told it on a great person, and he says this is what that great person holds, so we don't necessarily believe him if he's an Ogei Abadaber. So Im Kodem Ma'isa Amra Shomlo. If he told us his halacha 10 years ago, and now, 10 years later, it happens to be nogea to him, so we believe it, because for 10 years he wasn't nogea b'dover, so why wouldn't we believe him? The Talmud Chacham comes and says, this is the halacha, he says, oh, the name of an Adam Gadol, and he has no benefit directly from that halacha right now, so we believe him. So even though 10 years later he may come to have a benefit from him, at the time of the saying over the halacha, he had no direct benefit from it, he's not a nogea b'dover, so we believe him. And then 10 years later, it can actually help him. However, if right now he needs this halacha, there's a question as to his status, let's say. And he says, oh, the great Rabbanim so-and-so said that this is the halacha, and it's directly no gabadover, so ain't shomalo. Then we don't listen to him. So there's a ger that Ben Yassin found. He needed this halacha for Rabbi Akiva, for his own personal self. So how come he was believed to say that Rabbi Akiva said this? So the word says several terutim. Number one, Iba Yisema Moreh Uba Haya. No, he didn't tell us this halacha right now. He told us it was 5 years ago. And now, this is no gaya for him. So therefore, that's why he's believed. Because at the time that he said over that this is what Rabbi Akiva said, he wasn't married to his biological brother's wife. And only after he taught us this halacha, Rabbi Akiva, 5 years later, it so happened that his brother dies and he marries his brother's wife. So therefore, it's not a halacha that he's telling us right now, im kodem maisa amra shomlo. So this is a case of where he told us the halacha well before it applied to him. He's not at okay, but all right. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, because because he said, Harai Isha Vishiva Banel. He gave us a Maisa Shahaya. Here is somebody else that relied upon this statement of Rabbi Akiva. This woman had seven sons, and they married their biological brother's wives, but they converted, and therefore they're all considered Gershon Iskai Kekoshinola Dami, and therefore there was no problem. So since he had a Maisa Shahaya with other people, so therefore he's believed for himself, even though he's no Geaba Dover. That's teretz number two. And teretz number three, Mibayi Seima, this case is different. Shiny Hocha. Why? Because he didn't say over only one Maisa in the name of Rabbi Akiva, he said over two halachas in the name of Rabbi Akiva, and just like we're going to believe him for the second one, so migo, that we believe him for the second one, so too we believe him for the first one. So these are the three terutzim as to why this ger was able to be believed and marry his brother's wife, because he had the statement of Rabbi Akiva to support him, and these are the three reasons why he was believed. Now, on Mamar, we just said that Rabbi Kiva said a second halacha. It says, "Vayidvar Hashem al Yonah Shenis Lemor to teach us Shenis Dibraimo Shchino Shlishis Lo Dibraimo." So Rabbi Kiva dashed from the extra word Shenis. It could have just said, "Vayidvar Hashem al Yonah Lemor." Why does it say a second time to imply it? It's only a second time that he spoke with him, but not a third time. That was Rabbi Kiva's drasha. More questions. It says, "Wait a second, Voksiv." Keep on reading the pesukim. The pesukim say, "I read the whole pasuk." Who Heishiv is Gavul Yisrael Milavo Chamos Ad Yomu Arava. Kidvar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Diber Biat Ado Yonah Ben Amitai Anavi Asher Migas HaChefer. So here it says a third time. This is from Malachim Beis. It's not from Yonah. So it tells us there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yonah seemingly a third time. So how could Rabbi Akiva say he only spoke to him twice? So Amar Ravina, Ravina explains, no. Al Iske Ninveh Kamar. When Rabbi Akiva said that he only spoke with Yonah twice, that was in regards to Ninveh. He only spoke with him twice. But in regards to other things, he could have spoken to him, as clearly this Nevuah from Malachim Beis tells us. That's Teretz number one. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak gives us a second Teretz. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, Hochi Kamar. This is the way you have to understand this Pasuk. It says, Kidvar Hashem, the Pasuk that I just read, it says, Kidvar Hashem, Asher Diber Biyad Avdo. Again, Kidvar Hashem, okay, Yisrael, Asher Diber Biyad Avdo, Yonah ben Amitai Hanavi. So that's what the pasuk tells us, and it teaches us Kishem Shenefach Leninve Meiro LeTova Kach Bimei Yeravim Ben Yoash Defach Lemi Yisrael Meiro LeTova. This isn't really a nevuah. This is a statement. Just like by Ninve, by Yonah's prophecy, by Ninve, it turned around, and the people of Ninveh did tshuva, and nefach leNinveh meiro letova. So he's telling us that just like that once happened by Yonah Navi, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, so too it happened during the days of Yeravam. This is not Yeravam ben Nevat, this is Yeravam ben Yoash. Yoash was a later king in Malchus Yisrael, well after Yeravam ben Nevat, and he had a son who he named Yeravam. And in those days, it was supposed to be a very harsh decree on Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed it around. So this pasuk is not telling us a nevuah from Yonah. It's telling us, just like by Yonah, Ninveh had a nevuah that turned Meirah L'tovah, so to Klal Yisrael now had a nevuah that turned Meirah L'tovah. So it's not a stira to what Rabbi Akiva said, that Yonah only spoke with HaKadosh Baruch Hu twice. Tosa says, but wait a second, look in Yonah, it says, this is four lines into the top Tosfos, Aliske Ninveh. It says, well, Ashkon, the Dibra Imo Shlishis, the Iske Ninveh. But it tells us that he spoke with Yonah a third time, and in regards to Ninveh, the Siv, Ayomer Shemo Yonah, Ahetev Choru Lucha Alaki Koyon. So it tells us, Beferish, he spoke to him a third time. So how can you say that he didn't? So Tosfos answers, Yishlamar, Dahani Lav Iske Ninveh Ninu. You can answer like the first teretz that Ravine had given, that it was only about Ninveh, and this wasn't about Ninveh. So therefore, it's not a problem that there's a third Nevuah. Alternatively, according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, the Amar Shuv lo Dibra Imo at all. So Yesh Lomar Shizeh Hayo Oso Yom the Choshev Hakol Nevuachas. So it was the same time as he gave the second Nevuah. That's not considered a separate third Nevuah. But after that, he didn't speak with him anymore. Okay, what goes Vayta? Trying to again to prove that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is correct and Rav Sheshes is wrong. Toshba, we have the following brisa. Ger Shaisa Rosso Shelo Bikdusha V'Leidosu Bikdusha. We learn the following brisa, that if a ger was conceived while he was, his father was a guy, and then he was born, his mother converted, and Leidosu Hoya Bikdusha. This is the correct gears according to Rashi. Our gears are in the Gemara, and you can see in the Masoras Hashas, he says, look in Sanhedrin, where the gears is also this way. We have the gears of Ger Shoyso Leidoso Bikdusha, for Rosh Shlom Bikdusha. It's a little bit backwards, but it's the same exact thing. So Rashi corrects it, so to say, and reads it, Ger Shoyso Leidoso Bikdusha comes second, and he first writes, Horoso the conceiving was Shelo B'Kedusha, and then the later, which comes next, was B'Kedusha. Anyway, just puts it in the right order chronologically. In any event, such a ger who was conceived still as a goy, but was born as a yid, yesh lo shera aim, ve lo shera ab. The Brisa tells us that, halachically speaking, he has maternal relatives. So anybody that his mother is a relative to, she converted as well. So they're considered relatives to him because he was born after his mother had already converted. So his leido was B'Kedusha. So he has maternal relatives, as Brisa tells us. However, he doesn't have paternal relatives. Ein lo sher ha'av. Now, what does this mean practically? The Brisa tells us, Ketzad, how do we apply this din? Noso achoso mino aim. If he were to marry his maternal sister, so then Yotzi, he wouldn't be allowed to marry it because this would be an heir of him in a Torah. His mother is considered his relative. His mother is considered his biological and halachic mother, and therefore his sister would not be allowed to be married with him. Mina av, but if he had a paternal sister, Yikayim, he'd be allowed to marry. If she converted, he'd be allowed to marry. Even though it's a biological sister, it's not a problem. Furthermore, achos of minoim yotzi. If he had a maternal sister of his father, he also wouldn't be allowed to marry her, yotzi. And the reason is because it's a little bit from the mother, even though it's not his own mother, but it has a maternal aspect to it. It was his father's maternal sister, so the rabbis made exera in this situation, even though it's on the paternal side, but since there's an aspect of maternalness to it, so therefore they made exera and say he wouldn't be allowed to go marry his father's sister, but it was a father's sister only through the father's mother. And therefore, there's that maternal aspect to it. So the rabbi said, no, we don't allow this as well. We turn to Tzadik Chesam and Beis, the next case in the Braisa, Mina Av Yikayim. But if it was his father's sister from his father's father, so then there's no problem with him staying married with her. Likewise, Achos Aim Mina Aim Yotzi. If he were to go marry his mother's sister from his mother's mother, so a maternal sister of his mother, so then, in that situation, Yotzi, he certainly wouldn't be allowed to stay married with her. That would be an Isser. However, Min Ha'av, if he were to go and marry his mother's sister, but it was a mother's sister, it was only a half-sister from his mother's father, so then we have a machlokus. Rebbe Omer Yotzi. Rebbe says, yes, he still had to send her away because it's a maternal relative, and all maternal relatives are Aser, because he was born after she converted. However, the Chacham Omim Yikayim, in that situation, the rabbis say no, since it is from a father on his mother's side, so the rabbis in this situation were not gozer. And in this situation, since it is his mother's relatives, but it was his mother's relative while she was a goita, and not anymore, now when she converts, it's kager, sheniskaya, kikot, and shenolad dami, so therefore the rabbis were not gozer in this situation. Now, the Brisa continues and tells us and explains this a little bit more deeply. Rebbe says, "Kol ervo shimishum she'era aim." Rebbe holds anything on the maternal side, even though technically it's ger shin iskai kosher sedola domi, yotzi. You have to go and send her away. Mishum ha'av, however, if it's a paternal relative from his father's side, yikayim. There's no problem. We don't aser that relationship because ger shin iskai kosher sedola domi. The Brisa continues and says, Umutar be'eshes ochir. Now, we delete the word according to the Bach me'imo, even though it is true that it's me'imo, but it's me'imo or me'ovir. So, he's allowed to go and marry the wife of his brother, exactly like Rav Acha bar Yaakov said. Now, ube'eshes achi oviv, and he's also allowed to go marry his father's brother's wife. Ushar kol harayos mutaris lo, and all the other harayos that are from marriage are also permitted to him. They're not biological, and therefore all of them are permitted because gerish in his gayer, kikot in shenola dummy. Now, who does this last statement come to include? Ushar kol arayas mutaris lo, that comes to include, the Gemara says, in explanation of the Brisa, li yisuye eishes ha'av. This comes to include even the wife of his own biological father, he would be allowed to go and marry her. The Brisa continues and says, no so isho vita. If he married a woman and her daughter. Now, it was a gerish and his gayer, so technically they're not biologically related. However, Chachamim said, konis achas v'motzi achas. You can pick one, whichever one you want, and stay married to her, but the other one you have to send away. And Rashi says, this is the gzeir over here, that people see that he's married to a mother and a daughter, so then Rashi says we have to be concerned that this is going to come to lead people to believe that you're allowed to go and marry a mother and a daughter. And Rashi says in Dira Masu Nosa Isha Vibito, he says that he married both of them while he was a guy. And then Vinizgayu Imo, they all converted together. So now he has to decide which one of his two wives he wishes to stay with. He was marrying them when he was a guy, the mother and the daughter, and now they all three convert. So he can't stay married to both of them. He has to pick one, and the other one he has to divorce. And Rashi says in the next Dibra Maskel, Kones Achas Umotzi Achas, the lo leisi lemishre be Yisrael isha bita. Because people see he's married to a biological mother and daughter, they'll say, hey, you're allowed to go marry a biological mother and a daughter. So that's what Rashi tells us is the chiddush over here. And then it says a strange thing in the Braisa. The Braisa continues, L'chachila lo yichnos. He says, L'chachila, you shouldn't go and marry them both. Now, the Gemara is going to say in a second, obviously, if you have to get divorced from one of them, you have to get rid of one of them, so of course you can't marry both of them, L'chachila. So what's it talking about? So the Gemara is going to say, this is referring back to all the previous situations we said, you're allowed to be married to them, but not L'chachila. It's only b'di'evet that you're allowed to go and stay married with them. That's what the Gemara is going to explain. This part of the Braisa means momentarily. The Braisa finally concludes and says, Meisa Ishto, then if his wife were to die, so then Mutu Bechamoso, he would be allowed to go and marry her mother. At that point in time, he'd be allowed to go and marry her. Can't marry them both at the same time, but if his wife were to die, then he would be allowed to. And we don't make Xerah, Rashi says, in this situation, the Kulei Hai Lo Gozer Rabbanim. We don't go so far as to make Xerah here that a person might come to think that he can marry his mother-in-law, because here, the wife is already not around, so therefore, to marry her mother, his mother-in-law, is not considered something that we have to make Xerah about. However, not everybody agrees to that. And the Braisa says, V'ikutatani yosu b'chamosu. No, there is a shita, which we'll explain in a moment, is a machlokus Rabbi Yishmol and Rabbi Akiva that we had previously, which we'll address in a moment. This other opinion says, no, you wouldn't be allowed to go marry your mother-in-law even after your wife passed away. Now, this was the Braisa, and we'll show you how it's a raya to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Tani miyis, it said in the Braisa, mutu b'eishas ochiv. Now, my love, the nosu ochiv shuger, isn't this exactly talking about the case where he married her after his brother converted and married her, and then his brother died, and he married his brother's wife, and you see this is exactly what Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, you're allowed to go do that, because Gerushin is Kai Kochnola Domi, and it's a Kasha on Rav Sheshes. So we get the same answer we gave before. Lo, Rav Sheshes says, this Bryce is talking about the Nosuk Shu Ovi Kochavim. We're dealing here that they were married as an Ovi Kochavim. They both converted, but he never lived with her, he never married her after they converted. And therefore, it was his brother's wife as a guy, and therefore, there is no problem, even according to Rav Sheshes, of him marrying his brother's wife when the brother was only married to that wife when they were goyim. So Mor says again, same kash we had before, we give the same terrors that we had before in that situation. My remember, so what's the chiddush? Of course, we don't take into account the marriages when they were goyim. So Mor says, no, ma'al detema, I might have thought, ligzar, we should make a xerovir. If we allow him to go marry his brother's wife when they were married as a goyim, so he may come to go marry his brother's wife when they're married as yidin, which Rav Sheshes says is not allowed. So I might have thought, ma'al detema, ligzar, kishu avi kuchavim, or tu kishu ger, komashalom, we don't make such a xerovir. Again, the third time we've given this teretz. Okay, so that's how Rav Sheshes would understand this braisa. Rav Acha understood it. Rav Acha bar Yaakov understood it the way we said originally. Now let's go back and discuss the braisa. Amamai, we said, no, so isho bito, konis achas, motzi achas. We said that Rashi's understanding was he had married a mother and a daughter while he was a guy, and all three of them converted. So now he has to choose between one of his two wives, either the mother or the daughter. Can't marry, stay married to both of them. So, l'chatkila, then it said in the braisa, lo yichnos, but he shouldn't get married to both of them, l'chatkila. So more says, hashto afuki mevik, l'chatkila mivoy, if we're telling us that he has to go and divorce one of them, so obviously he can't marry both of them l'chatchila in this situation. So what's the chiddush? What's he telling us? It seems to be totally incorrect. So as I explained before, hasum koi, we're dealing with l'chatchila lo yichnos. That goes in all the things we said previously. All of the cases that we said previously, the braisa, don't do it l'chatchila. But after the fact, it's acceptable. Hasum koi. This is how you have to read the braisa. Every one of those situations where the rabbi says he's allowed to stay married to them, it's only b'di'evet. But l'chachila, if you'd ask the rabbi, should he go marry such women? L'chachila lo yichnos. He would say he shouldn't go and marry them. Finally, we turn to the machlokas that I mentioned a moment ago. Meisa ishto, mutu b'chamoso, v'ikudatani, as b'chamoso. We have the two opinions in the braisa that we said you're not allowed to marry a mother and a daughter, but what happens after the daughter died? Can you go marry the mother then, the mother-in-law? Would you be allowed to go marry her then? One opinion, the Braisa said yes. One opinion, the Braisa said no. So as I pointed out, this is really a machlokis of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva that we had previously. Previously, we said that Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Isser of the prohibition against marrying, nothing to do with Geirut. This is a full-fledged Yidin, that you're not allowed to go marry your mother-in-law. That's an Isser of Erva, even after a person's wife died. That's the standard opinion of the Chachamim, Rabbi Shmuel, that the Isser of mother-in-law is like all the other arayas. It stays fully in effect. It's an Isser of Kares, even after the wife passes away. Again, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, the only Isser ever that goes away after Rachmon Islam, a person's wife, dies is the Achos Ishto. He'd be allowed to marry his wife's sister after his wife died. But all the other Isurim, such as mother-in-law, still persist, are an Isser Erva, a major din of Kares. So that's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. And therefore, the part of the Braisa that says that it's forbidden to marry your mother-in-law, even though you're a Gerish Niskaya, and you should have said Kikot and Shinola Dami, and therefore they shouldn't be considered mother and daughter. Nevertheless, since we're so strict by a Yid's mother-in-law, so to work just as strict over here, Rabbi Shmuel says, we make the Xera that you're not allowed to go marry your mother-in-law even after your wife's death. Whereas Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva, who holds that not only can you go and marry your wife's sister, Rachman al son, after the person's wife passes away, he says that the Isser of mother-in-law, while it's an Isser, is not such a strong Isser. It's not the same Isser of Arayas as it was while your wife was alive. So therefore, he would be of the opinion that the rabbis didn't make a Gzeira in such a situation about the mother-in-law from the Goyim. And that Gersh Shniskai Koshinola Dami would apply here as well. So yes, while they're both alive, even Rabbi Akiva wouldn't allow you to get married to both of them. You have to divorce one of them. But after the death of the person's wife, so then he would allow, Rabbi Akiva would allow you to go marry your former mother-in-law, your wife's mother, because your wife passed away, and it's not such a strict din by a yid. So therefore, we didn't make a zera by a guy. So now let's see that inside. Chodek Rabbi Shmuel, v'chodek Rabbi Akiva. Man diosa Rabbi Shmuel. The opinion, the Braisa, that says you're not allowed to marry your mother-in-law even after your wife had passed away. Again, we're talking here of the case where they both were goyim and they converted. So technically, ger shniskai koshinol adami. So the biological connection technically is not there. Nevertheless, Rabbi Shmuel says we make a gzeira in this situation because he holds by a yid it's such a strict din. So by the gerim over here it's such a strict din as well that we should make a gzeira. The omer chamos le'achamisa b'yisura kaima. Because he holds that the original Isser is still Kayim by a Yid, so therefore we make the Xera by a Goy. However, Manda Share, the opinion that says you're allowed to marry the Goyish woman who was your wife's mother, but they both converted, so the Gerish is Gaya Koshinola Dami, so therefore that opinion says, no, we allow you to marry your mother in law in that situation after your wife passed away, Rahman al San, Manda Share Rabbi Akiva, because that's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Who holds Yom HaChamos HaChamis of Kolash Le'isura. It's not the same Isra by a Yid for the mother-in-law after the wife's death. It's still an Isra, but it's not the same level of Kares, and therefore, Vagabi Gerim, Lo Gozru Be'er Rabban. And therefore, by Gerim, the Chazal were not making any such Gizera. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Now here again, it's a little bit complicated, but I made a handout that hopefully will make it a little bit easier to understand. And this handout is also for tomorrow's share, so keep, if you print out this handout, so then keep it for tomorrow's share. We'll need it actually more for tomorrow's share than we will for today's share. Today, we don't really use that much of the handout. It's pretty easy. In any event, the Mishnah begins, Chomesh Noshim Shinis Arvu Vlado Sehen. You have, and you can see in my diagram, this is on the first page where it says Mishnah Tzadiches Amud Beis, and it shows us that there were five women that had each of them two sons. One son, which is the higher son on the diagram, we know exactly, they're called Vadoyin. We know exactly each son who their mother is. And then they have a brother. Now, there's a father here also. They just didn't have room to draw on the father. They have the same father. So in every one of these situations, there would be a real case of Yibam. None of these women are related to each other, and none of the husbands are related to each other, and only the two children. Each one of these five couples had two children. One is a Vadai, doesn't get mixed up, and we know definitely who the father and mother are. The other child, they were all born maybe in a cave during the time of a Gezerah Shmad, and the Goyim were trying to kill us or persecute us, and they were all born in a cave, and they got mixed up in a cave, let's say. So therefore, this is called the five brothers that are a Taruvus. They all got mixed up, and we don't know who their paternal brother is. So therefore, in this situation, every one of these children, if they get married, and they don't have children, they're going to fall Yibam to their brother. But we don't know who their brother is. Their brother could be any one of five different brothers. So therefore, in this situation, the Mishnah tells us, Higdilu hataroves v'nasu noshim v'meisu. If these five children that were taruves, they grew up, Baruch Hashem, they're all healthy, they don't know who their parents are, they grew up in a group communal type of a setting, and they all get married, and then Nebuch, they all died childless. So now, how do you do Yibam? Each of them definitely has one brother that would be a chiyuv of Yibam, so they're not, these wives are not going to be Muteris L'shuk until they have Yibam v'chalitza. So we always want to try to do in the times of the Gemara, Yibam if we can. Again, today we pointed out already previously that we don't do Yibam, we do chalitza. So it's no big deal to say everybody give chalitza to everybody. So I have each of the Vadai brothers give five different chalitzas. And this way the woman will definitely have gotten chalitza from her brother-in-law. And this way she's Muteris L'shuk, no problem. But we want to try to do the mitzvah of Yibam. So how can you possibly do the mitzvah of Yibam? Each time you possibly, let's say brother number one did Yibam with the first wife, so maybe it's his brother's wife, and he actually did Yibam, but maybe it's not. And therefore, this woman was waiting Yibam from somebody else, and he had married a woman who's a Shomeris Yavam, and that's not allowed to be. That was, according to one opinion, it's a major erva, Isser. According to others, it's just over a lap, but certainly not allowed to do this L'chachila. So what do you do? So the Mishnah tells us, Arba Holtzin Liachas, have, we call the brothers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Again, they're not brothers with each other. They're brothers with one of the taruvas. So don't think for a second that these five brothers are five brothers to each other. Each of them is a brother to one of the taruvas. So again, we'll call the first group, the Vadai and the taruvas, that's group number one. The second is group number two. We don't know who they are. Second, third is three, fourth is four, fifth is five. So we'll call the brother of each of those, the brother who's brother number one from the Vadai, so he does chalitza to the woman number one. Now maybe that's his sister-in-law, maybe it's not, we don't know. Then brother number two does the same chalitza to her, brother number three does the same chalitza to her, brother number four does the same chalitza to her. And now brother number five can do yibam with her, because mimarushach, if he's the real brother, so then, Baruch Hashem, he's doing yibam. And if he's not the real brother, so then he's marrying her. And she's no longer a problem of a yavama, it's waiting to have Yibam done because her true Yavam gave her Chalitza. So that's how your Mater, the first one, maybe you got it right that she did Yibam with the right brother, 1 in 5 chance, but if not, so then she marries the fifth person, and in that situation, she's Muteris L'shuk, no problem. Then you do the same thing with number two. Four of them give Chalitza, and then the fifth one can do Yibam. Again, the same Yimanushach. Maybe 1 in 5 chance that you got it right, but if not, she's Muteris L'shuk. You do the same thing with number three, you do the same thing with number four, and the same thing with number five. At the end of the day, every one of the women has undergone four chalitzas, and she has yibum. Now, there's only a 1 in 5 chance that the yibums are right, but at least there's a possibility that you actually have each one of them having had yibum done to her. That's the best that you can do. And there's no problem that she's a yavama waiting to have yibum with her yavam, because she did get chalitza, worst comes to worst, from her yavam. So, in this way, all five women are married, and all five women have the possibility that they may actually have done Yibam. Now, technically, you could have had one of the brothers be the last one to do Yibam, and he married all five. And then you could argue, well, at least he definitely got one Yibam right. But here, the Gemara would prefer that you possibly got all five right than saying that you definitely got one right, but four you definitely got wrong. So that's what the Mishnah suggests. Arba Cholzim Li'achas. In each situation, you have four brothers. First do chalitza. The chalitza has to be done first with all the four brothers, and then she's Muteris L'shuk, or if she really was, that was her yavam, she does yibam with the proper brother-in-law. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. In this situation, she's arba cholzin li'achas, the echa miyabe mosa, and then the same thing happens, hu ushlosha cholzin li'achas. Again, we prefer to have the possibility that all five could have yibam. So the one who already did yibam, so he does chalitza to the next one, and the other three do chalitza, and then one of the fifth one does yibam, v'echa miyabim, and then we do the same thing to number three, number four, number five, and at the bottom, at the end of the day, nimsu arba chalitzos, v'yibam kol achas yachas. Every one of them had four chalitzas first. The chalitzas have to come first, and then you have the yibam. So this way you have all five women married, a possibility that you actually got it right, and everyone married their yavam, but if not, there's no problem. They certainly had chalitza beforehand, and now were Muteris L'shuk, and they got married. Okay. And the Gemara starts and tells us, v'davka michlatz v'adu yibum. You have to have the four chalitzas first, and then the yibum, because otherwise, rachmona litzlan, you may have not had the right yavam with the right yavama, and then she's not Muteris L'shuk. Because in that situation, there's a chance that you'll have married a woman that was awaiting Hiba. Now the Gemara says, Maihu Ushlosha Chotzim Liachas. Why do we make it that the one who did Yibam had to do Chalitza to the other four? Why didn't he go and marry all five? He could be the fifth one each time and do Yibam with all five. So the Gemara again says, like I already mentioned, Lotem Liavminu Luchad Lukulu. We don't say let one person do Yibam to all five, let him be the fifth one, let the four others do Chalitza each time first, and he does Yibam to all five, because we prefer that the possibility that we get it right, that every single woman underwent Yibam, is the preferred way that we do this. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us out, and each one will actually have Yibam done with the true Yibam. Now we continue, and the Gemara says a Braisa over here, and the Bach says we begin with Tanu Rabbanan. And it tells us what happens in the following situation. Miktsosin Achin and Miktsosin Shein Achin. Some of them are paternal brothers and some of them are not paternal brothers. That's what it means. The Gemara says, my Kamar, what does that mean? So it's as I just said, Omer of Safra, Hochi Kamar. This is what it means. Miktsos Achin min Ha'av and Miktsosin Achin min Ha'ein. Now how do you have this? So you look in my sheet, my handout, on the second diagram. And this is the way Rashi understands this. He says as follows, and I'm using the names that Rashi says, that's why they're a little bit different names than what we normally use, but we'll follow along with Rashi's names. Although, to be honest, I'm adding some of the names myself as well, where Rashi didn't give names. So we have over here a father, Reuven, who was married to Rachel and Chana. Now, with Rachel, he has a son, Yosef, and with Chana, he has a son, which we call son number two. Yosef and son number two are paternal brothers. Everybody see that? Reuven is the same father. They have different mothers. Yosef's mother is Rachel, and what I call brother number two, he is a son of Reuven, so they're paternal brothers with Yosef, but has a different mother, Chana. Meanwhile, there are three other women who have a husband, and they have children. They have Levi, Yehuda, and Dan. Each of them is separate. They're not related to each other. Mothers and fathers aren't related to each other. The mother of Levi has a son number three, in addition to Levi. The mother of Yehuda has a son number four, in addition to Yehuda. And the mother of Dan has a son, in addition to Dan, called number five. Three, four, and five are totally unrelated to each other. They're exactly the same as the first scenario. But here, we have Reuven, who has a son, Yosef, and son number two, that are paternal brothers. But then, Reuven gets divorced from Rachel. Rachel marries Boaz. Boaz had a previous son called Shimon, and Boaz and Rachel now have a new child, one. So child one is going to be a paternal brother of Shimon, but a maternal brother of Yosef. With Yosef, he shares the same mother, Rachel, but they don't have the same father. So Yosef and brother number one are not going to go and ever have Yibam. It will be usher for Yosef to ever marry one's wife, because it's an isser of Eishasach. It's not B'malka Mitzvah, because it's only maternal and not paternal. But Yosef would have a Mitzvah of Yibam with brother number two, if brother number two dies childless. And again, brothers three, four, and five, three would have to have Yibam with Levi, four would have to have Yibam with Yehuda, and five's wife would have to have Yibam with Dan. And again, we have a Tyruvus. So 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are born in a cave. They all get mixed up, and we don't know whose lineage they are. And you have the five brothers that are Vadai. We have Shimon, Yosef, Levi, Yehuda, and Dan. They're all Vadai. We know exactly who they are. Now, what happens if all of the Tyruvus brothers, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, or sons, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, they're not brothers with each other. Sons, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, they all die childless. So all of their wives need Yibam. But there's a problem over here. You can't do the same thing as we did with the Taruvus in case number one from the Mishnah, because here you have some Isurim. So you have to do Chalitza with some of them. Not all five can do Yibam, because you don't know which one is which. So Yosef, who has a maternal brother, is never going to be able to do Yibam in this situation. And the other brothers can always do Yibam or Chalitza, because they're all paternal. So Shimon can do Yibam or Chalitza, because Mimanav Shach, if all the others had Chalitza, so then he's the fifth brother, it's Mimanav Shach. Either he's doing the marriage with a woman that wasn't his Yavama, or he's in fact doing the correct Yavama and having marriage to her. It's only Yosef that's going to have a problem. So that's why the Gemara tells us in this situation, achim minoeim cholzin. The ones that are maternal brothers, they have to do chalitza because they're not allowed to go and have yibam. So Yosef, and number one, he can't in any way do yibam. He's only going to be able to do chalitza. So achim minoeim cholzin, the ones that are brothers from the mother, so they have to do chalitza. Yosef will have to do chalitza. But the others, they all could possibly be able to do yibam, so therefore they can do first three of them plus Yosef do chalitza, and then the fifth one can do yibam. Mimarashok, he's doing yibam with the right one, or he's just marrying a woman who's muteris lashuk. So again, hopefully now simple with the diagram in front of us. I know it's a little bit complicated, but this way we can understand it. Then the Gemara says, the same thing would apply if mitzosim kohanim and mitzosim ein kohanim. If in fact we had the regular straight case of all of them being five teruvuses with one vaday brother, the original case of the Mishnah, the same thing would apply if any of them were kohanim. A kohanim is not allowed to marry a chalutza. So therefore, they would only be able to do chalitza, they can't do yibam because they're going to be marrying a woman who's potentially a chalutza. And therefore, the woman, if it wasn't their yavama, would be a chalutza, and it's also for them to marry a chalutza, midrabbanan. So mitzvasu kohanim, so she'enu kohanim, the kohanim have to do the chalitza. They can never be the fifth one to do yibam. She'enu kohanim yabim. But the ones that are the kohanim can't do yibam, but the ones that aren't the kohanim could do yibam, as number five. Similarly, mitzvasu kohanim, mitzvasu achim inoeim, if we had somewhat of a mixture between the Mishnah's case and the second case that we had over here, so again, eilu ve'elu chotzim v'lo miyabim. So in this situation, anybody that was a maternal brother or anybody that was a Kohen, they're going to have to be in the group that only does Chalitza. And those that aren't, they're neither a maternal brother or a Kohen, so then they would be allowed to go and do Yibam. This is a great break point. I know we're in the middle of my sheet and we're in the middle of this sugya, but this is a very good stopping point. And please hold on to the handouts. You'll need them for tomorrow's shiur to pick up with Tzadi Tes Omud Aleph Tanu Rabbanan. With this, we conclude today's shiur.